We're just going to start the class and get it going momentarily. Just do a brief audio check. And I wish everybody a good day today. Glad everybody can join us. Taking up the topic of intelligent design versus evolution, and also the second topic will be at the end, which will be faith versus proof. How does Judaism demand that we follow its system? And again, once the class is completed, the recording of the class will be posted on the website under the audio files. So if you missed any part of the class, you'll be able to hear it in its entirety. And again, welcome everybody. We'll start momentarily, but 5 minutes. And once we just confirm that all the audio is working for everybody. Again, we'll be discussing the topic of intelligent design. Is this something which is the Jewish view, or do we accept an eternal universe, and what the sources will be? And also, mostly we'll be working from reasoning, and we'll show how the rabbis, specifically Sadia Gaon and Rabbi Bachya, who authored the Duties of the Heart, Choves Halevavos, they demanded that the person uses reasoning, and that they offered proofs and did not simply follow the system based on faith or hearsay or the words of other people. And intermittently during the class, I'll pause. Again, my name is Rabbi Moshe Ben Chaim. I'll be giving the class today, and I will pause. I'd like to hear your comments, and when I pose the questions, I'd like to hear your thoughts. The whole concept of an interactive class is that there's interaction. Again, we'll start in about 3 minutes. This class is scheduled to start at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Okay, Menachem in Beit Shemesh. Good to see you. Glad you have the audio. Micha in New Jersey. Lila in Chicago. Nice to see you. Okay, Native in New York. And Nativ, I see that you had some entries before. I'm just looking out on screen. I don't recall where I had put down any race. You're saying something about despising or derogatory references made to Arabs. I just do the opposite. And I'm constantly telling people how Gentiles and Jews are equal in God's eyes. So I'm not sure where you're getting that from. It could be that what you're doing is interpreting when I expose the fallacy of other religions, that you may interpret that to be a rebuke of the individuals. But individuals come and go, so we don't take up any issue with the individuals. What we concern ourselves with is the ideas. Okay, we'll start shortly. Boruch, I see, is not getting audio yet. Okay, Boruch now has his audio. Very good. Debbie, thank you for your audio confirmation. Okay, Spinoza Man, let me know if you have the audio. You said you had some problems before. Just type audio okay if you have it. And again, once everybody has audio, just type audio okay. That'll confirm for me that you're picking up the audio fine, and I'll be able to start. And welcome to Baruch in South Dakota. Audio okay. Thank you, Baruch in KCK. I'm not sure where that is. And Moshe Meir, hello to you. Okay, looks like the audio is working fine. And again, if anybody sees any type of a Microsoft error message on your screen, just hit your enter key and or hit the send key at the bottom of the screen. The send button at the right of the input field will clear up the screen. Sometimes there are errors out of our control. But for the most part, it should not break the audio anyway. The only thing which it might interrupt is just the on-screen text, but you can get right back to that by clicking the send button at the bottom. All right, Spinoza, thank you. Native, okay, you're writing, I'm referring to the lectures regarding the tsunami where individuals ask questions whether we should pray for divine wrath upon individuals from Muslim countries. You did not necessarily lend your imprimatur to the views expressed, but you did not express condemnations to the views either. Well, again, that's an assumption, and pleasure to see you too as well, Native. And again, let me just clarify for you, we are not to have, and I personally do not have, of course, any animosity towards another individual. God breathed the soul of life to every single human being, Jew or not Jew. And keep in mind, God did not create Jew and Gentile. God created man and woman. And we are all, whether we're Eskimos, Asians, blacks, Jews, whites, Hispanics, Muslims, we are all descendants from Adam and Noah. So we all are part of God's will. We all have the exact same design. And the concept of there being a Jewish soul, which is better than a Gentile soul, is ludicrous, it's baseless, it's arrogance, it's bigotry. And although I know many Jewish groups will say that, but they're baseless, and they're only saying this because they are completely misconstruing God's term of a chosen people. Chosen means that we have a mission. We have an obligation. We read it in the Haftorah last week. We are supposed to be a light unto the nations. That was the Haftorah from last week. So if you take a look, we have an obligation to them. It's not the reverse. So who is subservient to who? It seems to be the Jew is subservient to the Gentile, that we have to ensure that they have the ideas. We've been given a mission, and it's not that we are any better. So again, let me just make it clear that Judaism's position is not one of bigotry. It's one of equality. Okay. And Gene in Missouri, good to see you. It's been a while. Hal in New York, I recognize your name too. And Nissim in New York, nice to see you, Nissim. I'm glad you're able to join, and I'm looking forward to Nissim maybe contributing now to the Jewish Times, intelligent individual, and look forward to having his contributions. He's written for us once before, so look forward to having either this week or the next some articles from Nissim. Okay, Native, I'm glad that's clarified. Nice to see you, Gene, in Missouri. Okay, Elisheva in Washington, looks like you've maybe just logging back on. And Rosanna in Oregon, nice to see you as well. Alberto, good to see you too. Debbie as well. Okay, Elisheva, if your sound is working okay, just type audio okay, and we will commence. We'll start the class now. And again, everything will be recorded and posted on the website, so if you did miss anything, at any point, feel free to listen to the archive, which will be placed online, usually within a half an hour after the class is over. Okay, I see we have people from all over today, so it's very nice. Okay, this is it for one more moment. Let everybody else log on, make sure the audio is working fine. And again, we are going to take up the issue, which I was actually debating with somebody over the past week regarding proof versus faith. That we'll take at the end, but we'll initially start out with the concept of intelligent design and what proofs do we have. Okay, the truth is we actually should start with proof versus faith, because based on that idea that will pave the way for why we will look for proof in areas of knowledge, such as creation. So maybe we'll do is we'll take what should be first in a logical sequence first. So let's take proof versus faith. It's just a short point, but it's important. And the idea is as follows. All right, so we'll start the class now. The idea regarding proof versus faith. What is Judaism? Is Judaism going to be viewed, or does it present itself, we should say, as a religion of faith, like other religions, where it's blind faith and it's not based on any type of rational principles, and we either accept or we don't? Or is it based on proof? Now, if you're going to take the path that Judaism is a faith, like all other religions, what you're faced up with is you have no argument to your own son or daughter who comes to you and says, I believe in Jesus more than Moses. Because once Judaism, and this is from religious, Orthodox religious rabbis have made this position that religion should be based on faith and is not something which can be proven. Okay, and that is completely untrue. But let's just take the issues over here. The issue about whether or not a child comes to you and says that they want to believe in Jesus more than Moses. What happens is if you claim that faith is what Judaism should be based on, if faith is how we should follow our lives, what you're doing is you're enabling any Jew, whether it's your own son or somebody else's daughter, you're enabling them to claim that they have more faith in Jesus than Moses. Now, you have no argument against that, because once you've already claimed that faith is how you must follow your life, and a child or a student or a friend says to you, I have faith in Jesus and not in Moses. Now, what are you going to say back to them? You're going to say that you're born Jewish, therefore be Jewish? That makes no sense. You've made a statement that religion is based on faith. And once it's based on faith, you've closed the door to any type of argumentation. You have already abandoned using reason, and therefore to try to come in with argumentation is a contradiction. If you claim that faith is how you should live your life, so then you cannot argue with somebody, because arguing is a method of reason. Let me just make sure that point is clear. If you have that point, just type okay on your screen. Again, this is the only way we can have confirmation that you're getting a point across clearly. So let's just make sure you see that idea clearly. Again, the statement I'm positing now, and I'd like to hear your feedback at this point, is whether or not you agree or disagree. So you could type that on screen, excuse me, that if you claim that faith is how we are supposed to be observant Jews, just by believing everything without proof, does that or does that not close the door to reasoning? Meaning when a child will then come to you, after you've preached faith, can you then tell your child who says, I have more faith in Jesus than in Moses, can you argue with them? Is arguing something which you are entitled to do at that point? Okay, so that seems clear. Everybody seems to have typed on all right. Everybody seems to agree with that point. All right, so that makes sense. It's a clear point. So that is just step one. Step one is that once you claim that you have to live based on faith, that means you are not supporting a life based on reason. And you cannot then use any type of argumentation to dispute a Jew who has faith in Jesus. Okay. All right, Baruch is saying that faith and reason go together. Okay, Baruch, feel free to clarify on screen. Type what you mean. I'm not sure what you mean. Giovanni Pico is saying that perhaps shouldn't preach faith in order to retain argument. Exactly, Giovanni. Alberto is writing, discussion is more the word. Okay, does faith precede reason? That is the starting point of reason. It could be Zalman. We're talking about ultimately what is the actual endorsement of Judaism. What does Judaism demand? Okay, Native is writing, religion is always composed of a degree of faith and reason. Well, Native, show me where you see that in Judaism. And then Native writes, after that, Judaism simply emphasizes reason to a far greater degree than Christianity. Okay, that is not accurate, Native, because either you're saying that you believe something, that is your method of adherence, or your method of adherence is because you see clearly it's the truth. Now, simply put, what is something which is incontrovertible? What is an idea that is absolutely true? Something which you prove or something which you have faith in? You tell me. No, Giovanni, we don't have faith that reason works. We see clearly. Again, in our confines of our level of wisdom, which is all we have, and we know that that is what we're discussing, so we don't have to step outside of that system and say, well, based on all that we have, reason works. We know that this is all we have. But when we witness the world and we see systems, we know that 2 plus 2 is 4. That's an absolute. And that's not something which is subject to alteration. There are things which are based on science of the old times, which, for example, the Earth being the center of the universe, that was disproven. So things which were not absolutely proven, although people felt it absolute, that's interpretation. But once something is objectively proven, that is something which must outrule faith, because faith is not based on an absolute proof. That's what faith means. If you mean to say faith in something, or I have faith in a proven thing, then that's not a correct statement. You don't have faith in something proven. You have absolute knowledge about something proven. Okay. And Baruch is writing, there are no incontrovertible ideas. Well, Baruch, your statement is a contradiction. You just wrote, there are no incontrovertible ideas. Well, that statement that you just wrote, you're claiming to be something which is not subject to debate. Isn't that true, Baruch? So you're in a contradiction right there. And again, when we speak about, and I talk to you about contradiction, or if I point out to somebody that you're making a mistake and so on, this is all in terms of learning and having accuracy and knowledge for you and everybody. There's no, we're not penalizing individuals here. And there is a Masorah that a rabbi once stated, that there is no politics when you're learning. You talk and you use your vigor and you use your passion. And learning is not supposed to be something where you are holding back. You bridle any type of energy in order that you speak in a politically correct way. When it comes to learning, you can't have any restraint. The mind has to just follow its path, and you debate with people. And this is all we should understand. It's all out of our concern for truth. Okay. Okay, well, Baruch, you're now making another contradiction. You're saying all ideas are subject to controversy. Well, what about your statement that you just wrote? You just wrote, all ideas are subject to controversy. That's an absolute statement. That means, on the one hand, you're saying everything can be disputed, but that statement that everything can be disputed, you would not agree is subject to dispute, would you? You're in a contradiction. I hope you can see that. Okay. Baruch, when you say that 2 plus 2 is not always 4, explain, when is 2 plus 2 not 4? You're making a statement, I want to hear you prove it. And good afternoon to Doug in Ohio, who just joined us, and Ben in Yardley. Okay, Zalman in New Jersey is asking, when you say God exists, is that a statement of faith or a statement of reason? It depends. If a person has no proof, it can't be a statement of reason. If a person has a proof of God, then it can be a statement of absolute knowledge. All right, Native, you're writing that there's an argument amongst the Rishonim whether the existence of God is a commandment or whether it's something that cannot be commanded because in some measure it is not subject to Aristotelian proofs. I'm not sure. You will have to take that up more. I'm not clear as to what you mean. Not subject to Aristotelian proofs. I mean, before Aristotle, you still would have the command. Okay. All right. So again, let's get back to the point, because we're getting a little bit far afield, but they're important digressions. Regarding faith, we'll get to intelligent design in a second. Okay, Baruch. But I thought what we'd do is, since I wanted to bring up both points today about faith versus proof, and intelligent design, it makes more sense that since intelligent design is going to be a discussion based on proof, let's go into logical sequence and just discuss the difference between faith or proof. So again, faith, number one, it opens up. If a person, a rabbi, an Orthodox leader starts to claim that Judaism, or if anybody claims that Judaism is based on faith like any other religion, what you're doing is, number one, you're opening up a Pandora's box and you're enabling any Jew to say, I have faith in some other religion, and then you won't be able to argue with them because you've already said that faith is more important. So once a person has faith in something, you can't argue and start using reason because you've said that faith is more important than reason. So you cannot enter the whole realm of argumentation with a young Jew who says, I believe in Jesus more than Moses. Because once you've said that faith is more important, you've closed off the whole discussion of reasoning. That's number one problem. Okay, but moreover, the reason why we don't say that Judaism is based on faith is because Judaism is inextricably tied up and synonymously tied up with Moses' words. Okay, so the statements that Moses made in the Torah, he said you should know, and you've been shown to know that God is in heaven above, and you've been proven. And he says also in Deuteronomy, he says, lest you forget what your eyes saw at Sinai. Moses is always calling the people to remember what they saw. He's not asking for faith. Moses did not ask the people for faith. So when we're discussing Judaism, which is synonymous with Moses' words, that's what they call the five books of Moses, it's because the statements of Moses, were always based on asking for the Jews to recall, meaning evidence. Remember what you saw. He's not asking the Jews ever just to believe in something. Okay, so since that's the case, Judaism then is a system based on Moses' teaching, and he taught the people to rely on evidence, what they saw, scientific proof, demonstration. Okay, that's something which is incontrovertible. Those are the words that we have in the Torah. And if a person is going to say that Judaism is based on faith, they are denying those very words of Moshe. And the words of Moshe, of Moses, were written by God. So therefore, you're denying God as well. Okay, so from the Torah itself, there's a mandate to use reason. That was a whole system that was handed down. It never lost that status. The Torah will exist eternally in its form. It will never be changed. Okay, one of the 13 principles. Okay, let's just make sure that is clear. Okay, if everything is clear, just type okay on screen. Okay, is that clear to everybody? Okay. Kevin is asking, okay, good. Let's see what Kevin is writing in Indiana. Would faith have played a role, however, as the record indicates? There was doubt and wanted to turn back to Egypt at various points. Would faith have played a role? I'm not sure what you're asking, Kevin. Okay, I can't go into the 13 principles at this point. They are listed on the site, Giovanni. Okay, so it looks like it's pretty clear. David and WB, not sure what that is. Gene, native, good. Moshmer, Alberto, thank you. Shalom, okay. And Shalom, Roseanne and Argon, very good. Lila, good. Gabriel, okay, looks like we got the point clear. Okay, so that is the system. And, of course, what evidence Moshe, you know, what Moses is referring to is the whole event of Sinai. All right, so revelation at Sinai is what Moshe was referring to, what Moses was referring to when he says to recall and never to forget what your eyes saw. Right, when they heard intelligent words coming out of fire, the reason why God, and we said this a number of times, but it's worth repeating, the reason why God orchestrated that event to be intelligent words emanating from fire is because fire is the one element in which no organism can exist. And all other elements, whether it's soil, air, water, any other element, you find live in organisms. So if the event at Sinai did not include fire, a person might think that the intelligence was coming from some sort of a earthbound biological organism. In order to discount any possibility that the people would think that the intelligence that they heard was coming from an earthly source, God made sure that fire was present. The entire mountain was engulfed with the flames, and they heard the voice of intelligence coming out of the flames. This removed any possibility that what they were hearing was a biological organism. Okay, so this is our proof. It's based on evidence, and it's not a system of faith. Okay, because once you say that Judaism is a system of faith, you basically equated it to any other religion. So then why? I mean, a person would be hard-pressed to claim why a person should be Jewish if you say it's based on faith. It's no different than any other religion. Okay, and Micah Miami is asking, don't we have to have faith that the Torah was actually given by God? That is based on proof, Michael. It's based on the whole proof of Sinai. All right, and Debbie is writing, it seems more like an issue of overcoming human emotions of fear in order to follow God rather than faith in his existence. Okay, I think you were directing that to Kevin. Okay. All right, now that we've shown clearly that Judaism is based on proof, now let's go into intelligent design. Okay, I'd like to just present a few arguments which prove that the earth is something which was created by intelligence and not something which evolved or always existed. All right, and it's important that we have these proofs, and these are what the rabbis use. So it shows you, number one, that they're basing their whole religious life on the proofs that they have come up with their own reasoning. And number two, it shows what the reasoning is. All right. Okay, so let's take up the first argument I'd like to present. Okay, there's something called infinite regression. Let me just present you what that is, and you'll tell me whether you feel it's possible or not, okay? Infinite regression of matter means to say that before this world, there was a previous world from which our world emanated. And there was constant expansion and contraction of the universe, and this went back infinite in time. There was no beginning. There was constantly new universes exploding, dying out, new rebirths of universes, and this went on ad infinitum all the way back in time. Does this make sense or not? And if it does not make sense, or it does, whichever way you want to side, what's your proof? Okay, so let's take that question. Everybody have the question? Question is whether or not infinite regression is a possibility. Okay, Lee, good to see you again. It's been a while. You're writing no, there has to be a first cause. All right, explain why. Why can't the universe have always existed? Infinite regression goes back infinitely. All right, Spinoza is saying it's possible, but currently unprovable. All right, let's see if we can prove it. Does not make sense. Debbie wants to write that it doesn't make sense. Every universe is caused by something before it. Meaning, Debbie, are you writing that it does not make sense that there were always a previous universe all the way back in time? Or are you saying that it does make sense? All right, Spinoza is suggesting that we're entering the region of uncertainty. Okay, let's see if we can get some certainty here. Pam is writing in Montana or Missouri. I'm not sure. Would not the first cause be the restriction of Ein Sof? I don't know what that is. So we'll try to use scientific terms here. Gavriel in LA. It's simply a ploy to avoid the logical conclusion that there is a first cause. Okay, so you're denying infinite regression. Alberto writes, well, Earth was by explosion years and years ago. Okay, that's not addressing the question, Alberto. Zalman in New Jersey writes, what role does the Creator have in a universe without a beginning? Okay, so it seems from your question that you are denying that the universe could have always existed. Roseanne in Oregon, I have no idea. That idea has never occurred to me. Well, this is the week that it should occur to you, Rosanna, as we just finished reading Creation in Genesis. Now, it's not just to give us a historical lesson, but is to inform us that there is a Creator. This is the most important concept that we can obtain in life. Kevin, Indiana, I would say no, because all matter has a beginning. Okay, good. All matter has a beginning based on observation. Kevin, who's writing, that there has to be a beginning to all matter. Okay. Spinoza Man is writing, we know there is a creative design because we have mathematics, okay? Lee in New York writes, it's not logical to assume infinite regression. It seems to me, at least, that there must have been something that started it all. Spinoza writes, it's one of God's language. I'm not sure if you're addressing there. And hello to Yossi and TNK. Debbie writes, I'm saying there must be a first cause, okay? It had a beginning. All right, so everybody's agreeing there has to be a beginning. All right? Giovanni Pico is writing that infinite regression is not clear. You are positing something before the Big Bang. Perhaps yes, perhaps not. Okay, it's a logical approach that you're taking, Giovanni, because you're stating that we can only study back up to the 6 days of creation, which is what the Gemara states. The Talmud states that. Okay, and Native writes, this is another great argument amongst the Rishonim, but has no bearing as to the truth of Torah. Well, Torah says that there was a beginning. All right, and was there a beginning or not? Was there a beginning to the heavens or not? It says that there was a beginning to the heavens. So I think it has great bearing on the Torah. Yes, there is a Medrash that says God created and destroyed worlds. Let's see if we can understand the question at hand. And Moshe is writing, I choose to believe that in the beginning there was a starter of everything. And I choose to refer to this initiative that Hashem is the force, okay? And again, if you're getting any time of a error on your screen, you could just click the send button at the bottom of your screen. That will bring you back to the chat area. All right, Alex, Mexico, good to see you. Spinoza Man, okay? All right. And again, if you see anything which is censored on your screen, it just may be that part of the word that you're using may be something which is in a list of standard censored words. So don't take any offense to that. All right, let's see if we can talk about this over here. What would be the real problem the primary problem with saying that matter existed all the way back in time? Well, according to Sadia Gaon, he wrote that, and this I feel is, you'll tell me what your reaction is to the idea. He wrote that if you would say that matter would have always existed, that means to say that time has no beginning. In order for matter to exist, that means there had to be an infinite amount of time for all that matter to constantly exist all the way back in time. Is that clear to everybody? Is that clear that with the statement of matter existing forever backwards in time, that there were constantly universes created and destroyed all the way back in time, that demands that time existed infinitely? Is that clear? Okay, good. All right, Spinoza, you're taking a hard line with me today. You're saying not absolute, okay? Time is a relative idea. Spinoza, I'm not sure what you mean, it's relative. Maimonides actually writes that time was a creation. Okay. Gene is saying, yes. Andrew, how about a closed time loop? Not infinite. I don't know what that means. Andrew in New York. All right, Kevin is agreeing that yes. We'd have to predicate infinite amount of time if we say that there was an infinite amount of worlds before us. Of course. All right. Now, the next step is as follows. Right, Giovanni, but time is something which didn't actually just automatically come into existence. Maimonides is saying that it was a creation just like matter. And Zalman in New Jersey are asking, can time exist outside the existence of God? Well, according to Maimonides, yes, because God created time. All right, but it's something which is hard for us to fathom. All right. I'm not really disagreeing with what most of you are writing. But now that we are positing that you must have an infinite amount of time, if you're going to say that there are infinite amount of worlds, this is the refutation of Saint-Gon. He says as follows. He says that if there were an infinite amount of time, then that is an impossible amount of time to traverse, and then you would never reach the present. Again, once we say there's an infinite number of worlds, and that means that there was an infinite amount of time for those worlds to exist, then you're positing that this infinite amount of time is a reality. But if that's so, you cannot traverse the infinite. That means nothing, the future can never be reached because you are stuck in an infinite past. Is that clear to everybody? Right, I agree, Nativ. We're not supposed to discuss things which are before or after, before creation, or what will come afterwards, or what's above the heavens, meaning outside of observation, and what's below. That's Chagiga 11b, Talmud Chagiga. However, we see that Saint-Gon did discuss the point of whether you can say that matter always existed. Is that the nature? Meaning when we look at matter, we're discussing the nature of matter. Is that possible? He discusses it. Okay, again, we're trying to make this as very simple as possible. If you think about it, these don't have to be mind-bending. Okay, Zalman. Okay. Let's keep it to, I mean, Andrew, you're asking one question about it. Entropy, let's not get into side points. If we want to get an answer to intelligent design, which is what I want to discuss today, and, you know, time is just running up shortly. We want to do a half-an-hour class. We'll go a little bit longer. But, all right, good. We have Gavrila saying yes, it makes sense. And you haven't heard it before, so I'm glad we're discussing it. Right, meaning to say, it's not a matter of physics. It's a matter of whether or not this makes sense. Oh, and we have a mind. We have the ability to determine whether it makes sense or not. Now, if we say that there were worlds that always existed, and there was never a beginning. All right, and we'll get on to the next disproof. But right now, let's just wrap up this one. If you say that the universe always existed, right? For example, like Aristotle's position, that's what he held. He held God and the universe were like the shadow. The universe is like a shadow to God. It always existed. What you're saying with that also, another big problem, which is kfira, which is heresy, is you're saying that God did not create the universe because it always existed. So that's, in terms of a religious aspect, you have a problem. And it's a very large problem because now God does not become the creator anymore. He's no longer the creator. Because you're saying that the world existed as long as he did, meaning they both existed infinitely. And if they both existed infinitely, that means the world had no creator, and therefore we are not defining God as the creator anymore, which has to be the most primary understanding we have of God. Okay. All right, so let's just leave the concept of Einsteinian physics and time and entropy for a second, and just think about this idea, and let me know if this is clear to you. Does this make sense to you? That once we posit that there are infinite worlds, that means it needed to have an infinite amount of time to exist all the way back. And if there was an infinite amount of time, that means there was no beginning. Can you traverse infinite time? Is that possible? Can you? No, you can't. I mean, that's the point. For example, if you say I have an object, I have a ruler, which is infinitely long. You cannot measure the ruler because there is no beginning or end to it. You cannot traverse, you can't even get to the midway point in the ruler because you're saying it's infinitely long. You cannot get to the midway point. You can't get to any point on the ruler. So just like you cannot reach a midway point on a ruler that's infinitely long, you cannot reach any given point in time if you say time is infinite. Okay, is that clear or not? You tell me. Let's pause for a second, and let me just look on screen and see your comments. So take a moment just to write clear. If you need to repeat it, I'll repeat it again. No, this is Baltimore. You're writing that this is a belief. I think we're using deductive reasoning. We're using reasoning here, not belief. Based on what we know to be absolutely true. All right, this is what side you're going used. Okay, Rosanna. Moshe Meir, I'm not sure what you mean. You can reach a point. That is where we are. You wouldn't be able to reach the present if there was no beginning. All right, so you also have the problem that it denies God as a creator. Now, there's one other point I want to mention. The other point I want to get to, well, I'll just look on screen for a second, but just want to you'll remind me if I don't come back to this. The other point is that if you say that there was no beginning, there was no first world, if we say that the worlds constantly go back, or the causes never, see, they never end because there was never a first cause, what you're saying is that everything that we do see today does not have a cause. Because, again, listen carefully. If you say that matter goes back in time infinitely and there was never a beginning to matter, so now you're saying, meaning to say, if Z was created by Y, and before is meaning, let's say, the Earth was created by, let's say, you'll say it's God, and God was created by something before him, and that's called X, and X was created by something before it, and that was called Zeno, and you keep on going back, if you never come to a certain point that you claim has complete cause of everything, then by definition you're saying that everything exists without a cause. That's an impossibility. Okay. All right, and just a couple of notes over here. Let's see. Lo Shamea Bar. Okay, I guess Baruch can't hear. All right, Native is right in the position that the universe existed prior to the intervention of God is not uniform in Judaism. Agreed. Okay. Perhaps in the future, some other generation may be able to approach the problem with greater knowledge. Well, I think we have the right to approach this area. There's no reason to shy away from coming to a conclusion. And keep in mind, a lot of times a human being will be afraid to speak with conviction about something. But you shouldn't. There's no reason not to try to seek a absolute answer. They can be reached, and look, the rabbi spoke this way. Okay. All right. Now, the next problem that we have with saying that the universe existed eternally is, like I just stated, what it does is it obviates any initial cause. But that's impossible. You can't have the universe without a cause. Does everybody agree to that? Does everybody agree that you must have a cause for anything physical? Let me just start with that point. Maybe I'm jumping the gun. Is that clear or not? Does the universe need a cause or not? And Mark in L.A. is writing, even though we don't reach a certain point on the ruler, we can know the beginning points. Well, yes, if there is a discrete length to the ruler, yes. But if you're saying that there's no beginning or end to the ruler, and I'm addressing this to Mark in L.A., so then you can never get to what you would call the middle. Similarly, if you say there was never a beginning to time, then you can never reach the present. Okay, so it seems to be... All right, Spinoza, think about it. Spinoza, man, think about it. Okay. Okay, Giovanni, you're saying fluctuations could have caused the universe. I don't know what that means. Okay. A Okay, so do we agree that there's a cause? Okay, so you're, most of you are saying yes, you agree there had to be a cause. Now, once you say there's a cause for physical, there's a cause for the physical world, meaning once you say there's a cause for the earth, then you would say there's also a cause for the sun. And not just for the sun, but for all galaxies. And not only for those, but for everything physical that exists, you would have to say there's a cause. Now, once you make that statement that everything physical has a cause, by definition, you're saying that the cause is not physical. Okay, is that point clear? Again, once you posit that not only the earth has a cause for its existence, but so does the sun, and the reason why we say it has a cause is because it cannot create itself. That is clear. Nobody would deny that point. Nobody would deny the point that something can create itself. And as Rabbi Bachia, who wrote The Duties of the Heart, Chovos Halevavos, he stated clearly, for if you will say that something created itself, then it didn't do anything because it already existed. Or if you say that it didn't exist yet, so there was nothing around that could do the act of creation, either way, something cannot create itself. That's an absurdity. It's an impossibility. But that should be clear. Now, since something can't create itself, then something outside of it must have created it. So something outside of the earth created the earth. Something other than the sun created the sun. And you go to the macro level, and you see that something outside of the entire physical universe had to create it. And whatever it is, by definition, is not physical. Because you're saying that all physical things require creation. So whatever did the act of creation is not physical. So we arrive at a conclusion that there is a designer, a creator. And that is all we really wanted to do today, is to just take both sides and show how this is something which is accurate from a number of arguments. Okay. Okay, Dwayne, I'm not sure if you're asking a question. You're saying something out of nothing. Or unless you're just positing that that is how God made it, something out of nothing. Okay. Okay, angels, we're not going to take up, Mark. I don't know what they are, so I can't discuss. You can look at the Rambam. He talks about that they sometimes refer to angels means just natural law. He also talks about them being real intelligences that are self-aware. Or I would listen, let me just limit it to his words, intelligences. But again, that's not something which I am ready to elaborate on, just because I don't have the knowledge. Okay, Zalman's writing, however, physical things can be created from other physical things. I agree. Every physical thing in creation does not need a specific creator. No, it does. It needs every child needs a mother. Every plant needs a seed, and that seed needs to have come to a previous plant. Big Al in New York is writing, if the cause was the Big Bang, we don't know what caused it. Okay, well, we're referring to that as God. Alberto writes, so Earth is been created by someone other than, by someone or something or God. Okay, Alberto, you can put it that way. Okay, good to see Larry, who just logged on. Okay, let me pause at this point. We took up those two points. Let me see if there's any questions. Please type them now before I take the last point. Okay, we just wanted to do like a brief class today, and I know that everybody, a lot of you at work, a lot of you at home. By definition, Zalman, you're saying the creator does not need to be non-physical. You mean to say that the creator can be physical? Well, that's impossible, because we're saying everything physical requires design, meaning a physical object. Think about this, Zalman. This is for Zalman in New Jersey. Think about this, Zalman. If something is physical, by definition, physical has a lot of accidents. It has color, shape, weight, design, density. It has certain capabilities and certain incapabilities. You have to ask yourself, what is limiting this physical object to, for example, a tree? A tree is hard. It's not soft. A tree is, the bark is dry. It grows vertically. There are many aspects to a tree. Now, why can't the tree all of a sudden become liquefied? Why can't it get up out of the ground and start running? Because it's limited by its design. That means something designed the tree. So anything physical is limited. Then you're saying that God, if God is physical, that means he's being limited. Well, that's not our concept of God. Okay, that's not the word. That's what it means. Okay, Native is writing, great Jewish thinkers like Abba Mari Falaquera, Abram Shalom, David Ben Yom Tov, Did not believe in creation ex nihilo, which furthers my point that while interesting for purposes of discussion, have no bearing on a belief of the truth of our Torah. Well, you have to use your mind yourself, Native. Quoting people is not the approach to knowing whether something is true or not. You are living your life for yourself. You have been given intelligence, just like every other human being. Now it's your obligation to use that intelligence to determine what you feel is true and what's not. But the very fact that you're here talking to me, you are clearly admitting that I exist. You have 100% absolute knowledge that I exist, otherwise you would not be addressing me. Use that as a barometer for what you can obtain in other areas. And you're always going to find disputes. So you can't go after the greatest person because that doesn't give you any merit just for saying, I'm going to follow the greatest person, whatever he said. Well, unless you see that it's clear, you might as well not do anything. There's no merit to you by echoing the words of somebody else if you do not agree. So quoting people is not what we're here for. That we, each one of us, should arrive at a truth to our minds is what we must do. That should be the objective here. Okay, Native. And let me see what else we have here. Mark in L.A. writes, where should I read about angels then? Otherwise, I'm with you on the matter stuff. Okay. You can read about the Rambam and the Mori Devuchim, but I would start with that. In his Guide for the Perplexed. All right, that's where Rambam talks about it, Maimonides. Okay, Giovanni Pico is writing, you're using physical, but are you denying quantum and relativistic physics? I'm using the physical world as it's talked about in Genesis. Mark in L.A. is writing further, if nothing changes its form, then evolution is out. Nope. We're just saying that something evolving of its own accord is impossible. It had to be created by something else. Just something which evolves. It's impossible that you have nothingness, and then with no other cause that now something should now come about. But there can be changes, adaptation. I'm not denying the fact that you adapt. I mean, if you look at a person who's a carpenter, so before he becomes a carpenter, his hands are smooth. And a few weeks later, he developed calluses. So you see that the human body has ability for adaptation. People can learn. That's adaptation. All right, so evolution in that sense, you can evolve, you can adapt in that sense. But in terms of how Darwinian, we don't know how God created man, dust from the, I mean, it says that God created man, afarma and adama, dust from the ground, was man's origin. All right, the stages that it went through, we were not there. I do not know. So I'm not here to speak about that. I just want to clarify that the existence of the universe is not something which is spontaneous. There had to be an intelligent designer. Okay. Kevin writes, I can have infinite ideas because I'm an intelligent being, thinking being. And if they remain in my mind infinitely, they would never be known by others. But at the point I materialize them, they are created within the rules of my existence. But you originated the ideas, so they're not infinite, Kevin. Mark in L.A., if nothing changes its form, a tree starting to run, then a fish can't start to walk and turn into a monkey and then into a human. That's correct. If God created certain species, that means that he had to create those species. Okay? But there could be certain crossbreeding, which does produce certain side things. However, they do not have the ability to reproduce afterwards, as Ramban stated. Dwayne, you're writing, could it be that the creator is four-dimensional? We don't know anything about the creator, so we can't discuss that, Dwayne. Okay, so discussing what God is, we cannot do. All right, now let me just ask everybody at this point just to hold off on typing. Let me, because the screen is now full with comments. I'd like to address every one of them. So if everybody could just hold off for a few moments until, you know, I ask you to write further. I don't want to miss any ideas here. Okay, and Zalman writes, I accept the idea of a creator, but individual physical things do not, by necessity, require God to create them. We actually say otherwise, Zalman. Mechadesh betuva b'chol yom tov ma'aseh bereishis, that God renews creation every day. That means without God's will, on a regular, momentary basis, nothing can exist. Okay, Moish in Baltimore writes, I think we've mostly agreed that there was a designed orderly creation from disorder, but I still feel that this is my belief. Based on belief. It's not my science, nor can logic really explain this at all. Well, we're using reasoning here. If you cannot refute, if the idea is clear to you, then we are using reasoning here. It should be sense. Kevin writes, everything we can observe has been created because before its creation it could not have thought determined how it would be. Okay, Shalom writes, true to what that speaker just said is the quote of another going to get you from square A to square B. Only your own mind can get you there. I'm not sure what you mean, Shalom. Zom, New Jersey writes, individual living physical things can reproduce themselves. That's true, but they're using laws that God has to will on a regular basis, Zalman. Nothing is independent, even after God made it. It requires God's will that these things exist. There's only one being which is called independent existence, that is God. All other things are dependent existences, which means that if it's not for God's will, on a momentary basis, the things exist, they would not have the ability to exist. Okay. And Nate Tibb is writing, I wholly accept your position, but I do not view this discussion as a religious question. If science was to prove either position, it would not challenge my belief in the divinity of the Torah, inasmuch as the Torah does not rest on the principle of creation ex nihilo. Okay, I hear your point, Nativ. Gavriel writes, evolution requires physical laws that drive it. So where did the laws come from? There had to be a cause for those laws. Exactly, Gavriel. Very well put. If everybody wants to look at Gavriel LA, his last entry, it's halfway up the screen, at least on the RPC here. That's a very good point. Again, he writes, evolution requires physical laws that drive it. So where did the laws come from? There had to be a cause for the laws. Right. Okay, Giovanni Pico writes, causality is not absolute. Some things occur randomly through the rules, although the rules are definite. Okay, but even random, if you study the laws of chaos, Giovanni, there's a whole science to chaos. I'm not sure fractals are part of that. I think that's something else. But there is a science to chaos. Chaos is not the absolute chaos, believe it or not. Okay, Zalman, very good. Kevin, all of my creations are not actual creations. Men are not capable of creating life of any kind, only manipulating what already is. True. Okay, Dwayne, good laws that exist. Are you saying, and Giovanni writes, are you saying that 2 plus 2, God willing, is 4, otherwise not? What we have in front of us in science, that is what we have. That's an absolute. Okay, I can't start thinking, are there other systems where 2 plus 2 is 5? That makes no sense to me, Giovanni. All right. Mark in L.A. writes, regarding time, God creates the world every day, end quote. Does that mean that it starts from the beginning every day and fast forwards to every point that was left out? No. It doesn't mean that God is making Genesis and racing through 5,700 years every day. No, it means to say, when we say God creates the world every day, that God, in his great mercy, renews creation every day, it means to say the following. Anything you see in the world existing cannot exist right now unless God's will is being applied to it. It does not have the ability to exist by itself. If something had the ability to exist on its own, God would not be required. But the very fact that God had to bring the physical universe into creation from nothingness, that means by definition the only thing which exists by nature is God. The only thing which exists by its very nature is God. It's a hard concept. But that is what God told Moshe. Ekia Asher Ekia. God told Moshe, when he asked what to tell the Jews who sent him, when he went to Mitzrayim, to Egypt, he asked, are they going to ask me who sent me? And what should I tell them? So God said to Moses, you tell them, Ekia Asher Ekia, which means I am that I am. I am the being whose existence is essential. I did not have to be given existence. That is God alone. But everything else didn't always exist. In Hebrew terms, everything that exists that we see now is 5,766 years old. All right, measured from, you know, one aspect. All right. So things did not always exist. That means existence has to be given, and that means on a daily basis, on a momentary basis, things have to be given. God's will has to exist that the world continues. Without him willing it, so the world would just, it would evaporate. It would cease to exist. Okay. Mark in L.A. writes, regarding time, God creates the world. Okay, we answered that one. Kevin writes, everything we can observe breaks down. It does not acquire new information, even though it may duplicate or replicate information. Okay. If we're outside of God's creation and his rules. That's impossible. It can't be outside. Okay, Giovanni, I hear what you're saying. If 2 plus 2 equals 5 is impossible, then God does not have to renew this every day. Okay, in terms of knowing where we cross the line between what is absolute and part of God and what is something that he only created for us, I can't address that, Giovanni. Okay, I hope you understand that's outside of my realm. Okay, Leah, you're saying hello. Hello, nice to see you. Yes, Leah, our actions are being judged every day. Everything is written in the book. The rabbis write that in Pirkei Avos. Okay. I'm not sure, Menachem and Beit Shemesh, who you're addressing. You said that is not logical. You want to address a person, put their name down, whether it's myself or someone else. Mark in L.A. writes, why would the Jews in Egypt have cared about the answer, Ekia, that I am that I am? Why would that have been an important thing for them? According to a rabbi explained that the concept of essential existence is not something that man would get on his own. He would not be able to arrive at that. The fact that Moses had this idea and explained it to them, to the wise men, they realized that he must have been informed of this by the Creator. Meaning, we don't see in creation anything which would give us the idea of essential existence. But if somebody comes to you and tells you about essential existence, it must have been that he received that from the Creator. It would have been impossible to obtain that knowledge otherwise. And that was the proof to those Jews that Moses must have been in contact with God. Otherwise, he would not have ever come up with this idea. Menachem is writing, just because God creates existence does not prove that he's needed to maintain it. It does, because without the existence, without God creating matter, it would not have existed. Right, Menachem? Let me just explain Menachem's point. It's important. All right? By the very fact that we know that everything physical had to be created, Menachem, that means it could not have existed otherwise. That means its very existence is dependent. The very fact that it came into existence is dependent. That, by definition, undermines its continued existence. It's not just that the initial point of where it crosses over from non-existence to existence, there we need God. No. The very fact that this thing had to be brought into existence from nothingness means that it cannot depend on itself to continue either. All right, Menachem? Okay, Leah, your question, you would have to be addressed in a different form. You're saying that you're converting. Feel free to write me directly. You'll see at the bottom of the links on the left-hand side, there's a contacts page. Feel free to write me directly. Okay. Mark in LA is asking, essential existence, didn't Abraham come up with that idea? So it could have been passed down. Good question. I don't know, Mark. I was repeating to you what the rabbi had said. Okay. Now, let me just wrap up at this point because we're just closing in on an hour. I don't want to delay the... So we spoke about infinite regression. Let's just recap. We spoke about proof versus faith. Judaism is based on proof. Those are Moses' very words. He calls the people to remember what they saw. He does not ask for faith. Anybody who says that Judaism is based on faith is denying Moses' words and denying God, because God wrote Moses' words down and endorses Moses' words. Okay, let's just recap the other point. We don't say there's infinite regression, all right? That's a good term for you to remember. Infinite regression. We do not say the world always existed. For if the world always existed, then time would have to have always existed. And if time always existed, there was no beginning to time, you would never reach the present. But we do exist in the present, and therefore there had to be some beginning by which we can arrive here. Okay. All right, we also said that matter cannot create itself. All right, that has to be clear too. That should be obvious. And I just wanted to close with one thought. And that is that the purpose of creation, we say in the Lecha Dodi every Friday night, Sof b'maaseh b'machshava techila, last in creation, but first in his thoughts. That's talking about Shabbos, about the Sabbath. The Shabbos was the last thing in creation, but it was the first in God's thoughts. What does this mean? It means that although it came last, it doesn't mean that the last thing in the sequence is the least important. The whole purpose of Shabbos is to reflect on creation. God created the physical world, much to the opposition of scientists, not for itself. The physical world was not something that we look and marvel at, and that's where it ends. No, we marvel at the physical world, and it was created in order that we can see proof of a creator. Without something being created, then there's no evidence of a creator. So we see the goal in creation is that people should see a creator who made the physical world. So God designs a physical world for the purpose that we now study it. We see the amazing science and mathematics. And then we step back, and then we realize it had to be created. And that's what we're doing today. We're discussing proofs that we derive from looking at the world. And this is what Maimonides says in his Laws of the Fundamentals of the Torah, Chapter 2, Law 2, and he says that if a person wants to have love of God, he should study creation. Interesting, there he does not say you should study Torah. He does say that in his Sefer Mitzvos, his laws, his book on the mitzvos, where he elaborates on each of the 613. There he says, by the law to love God, that you arrive at a love of God through studying creation and studying Torah. But in his fundamentals, he writes that the way you approach love of God is by studying creation. So you see that creation was not an ends in itself. It was a means by which we can now view creation and come to a realization that there's a creator. Okay, Native, thank you very much for your kind words. I appreciate you saying that. And let's see. Menachem, you're inserting faith into it and you're living in God's power. You're saying that God could not have created a self-sustaining system. I agree that laws of nature exist, Menachem. All right? If you mean self-sustaining in terms of that, that's true. But those very laws themselves do not exist unless there is the will of God. They just don't have that capability. Okay. And Mark in L.A., time goes by fast when you're talking about time. Okay, thank you also for the comments there, Mark. Thank you. Zalman writes, believing scientists that I know tell me that they study nature through science in order to better understand God. Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. And okay, Giovanni Pico in, I guess that's Chile or China. Okay, you're writing something to Debbie. Very good. All right. I think that's we'll wrap it up. If there's any other questions, type them on the screen. Otherwise, we'll wrap that up. And again, the class will be posted online on the audio archives. Now, the audio files link is the 7th link down on your left. And all the previous classes are there. This will be entitled Fundamentals 10. And the title will be Intelligent Design versus evolution, and faith versus proof. That will be this class. It will be posted in the audio. Okay, Lila, my pleasure. Okay, Spinoza, my pleasure. Glad you enjoyed it. Okay, Hank is writing a comment on issue of evolution, argument from Jewish perspective. Again, Hank, 360, regarding evolution, argument from a Jewish perspective. The Torah, as Rivka Olenek, who's the editor here, commented to me a few years back that and corrected me. She stated, it says openly in the Torah that God created man from the dust. He did not create him from a monkey. Okay? How the dust turned into man, I do not know. The fact that animals today can adapt also seems to have some bearing on evolution, but again, what exactly the definitions Darwin used and what we use, I don't have that fluent enough to discuss that. Lee, good to see you again. Jean in South Carolina, nice to see you as well, as always, Lee, Jean. Zama, New Jersey. Okay, Zama, I'm glad you enjoyed a break from the mundane, but don't put down work. Work, you know, that ain't kemach ain't Torah, Zama. Work is necessary. I do it, you do it, everybody has to do it. It's an essential thing in order to, you know, to cover it. It's necessary. It is necessary. We actually wrote about that once, on the importance of work, and it was from the Duties of the Heart. And if you'd like, Zama, you can take a look on the site. You could use a search and see what that article discussed. It was very, it was an eye-opening topic. My good friend, Chavrusa Howard, had pointed it out to me, and I went through it in the Duties of the Heart. It was very good. Okay. Roseanne in Oregon, I'm glad you enjoyed first class. And again, all the previous classes are online here. You listen to them free. Any of you who want to get the Jewish Times, if you're new to Masorah, you could sign up free to get the Jewish Times. At the very top of the page, above the Masorah logo, you'll see where it says subscribe free, and you'll get the Jewish Times every week. Alberto writes, for me, too complicated, so now I'm going to watch football. Catch you later. Okay, Alberto. I hope your team wins. Menachem Beit Shemesh, I'm not saying that I don't believe that he's involved on a daily basis, but your statement that the fact that the laws were created proves that they need God's maintenance makes no sense logically. Well, Menachem Beit Shemesh, how can those laws exist without God's willing them? I mean, Rambam says this openly in the Yesodei HaTorah. So Menachem, if you want to see it, the Rambam's words, not, you know, you don't have to rely on what I'm saying. He says that if you could possibly imagine that God would not exist, then nothing else would exist. That means that the laws would not exist without God's will. So take a look in the beginning, the first two prakim, Menachem, in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah. All right. And for anybody else who's listening, that is the laws of the fundamentals. They are in English now. It's called the Yad HaChazaka. The Mishneh Torah is another name for it. And the very first part, he has 14 books in there. The first book is knowledge. And in the laws of the fundamentals, which is the very beginning of the book of knowledge, you should read the first couple of chapters, if not all of them. Okay, Hank 360, my pleasure. And good to see Eliezer in... I guess that's, I can't tell what WO is. Let's see, Giovanna Pico. Why is it not sufficient to credit God with the rules of science and let the story play out from that? I suppose that makes me a deist. All right. Okay, Zalman, good. Take a look. Spinoza, good to see you. All right, so I think that wraps up all the statements on screen. I wish everybody a good day today. Stay posted. Subscribe to the emails. There's a receive schedule link on the bottom. To the right, it says send, exit, and donate. Right after the donate link, you'll see it says receive schedule. You can click on that to send an email, and you'll be put into the email list, and you'll receive a schedule on the classes as to when the next class will be. Or you can just see the live classes link. That's the first link on the left-hand side of your screen, and you'll see what the schedule is. Stay posted there. In either case, I wish everybody a good day, and I'm glad everybody was up to join, and you enjoyed the class. Okay, Zalman, the link, for work. Take a look with the search. There's a search link, Zalman, on the left-hand side of your screen. Halfway down, you'll see a white box with the black letters, search. Click there, do a search on the website, and look for the duties of the heart or the purpose of work or just the word work and see what articles come up. There's something I wrote a few months back. Yeah, let me see if I can do that now for you. All right, but let me just... let's see. No, Zalman, I can't seem to look at it too quickly. You'll have to do a search and see if you can locate it. If you'd like, send me an email. Send an email to Moshe Ben Chaim. You'll see it in the contacts. It's the third to the last link down on the left-hand side of the screen. And that'll just remind me. I'll see if I can locate the article for you and then send it to you directly. All right, so let me wish everybody a good day, and I'll be in touch with you all. Okay. Shavuot Tov to everybody.